going on out there, everybody. And thanks so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and the man that sits beside me, who I guess I wouldn't take anybody else. Well, I might. Ned Flanders, folks. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here. Yep, shaved, trimmed up. Nice.
I'm glad you kept it.
I didn't. Yes, I didn't remove the mustache, but if you could tell, no. I took it down, right?
You so did. You tamed it a little.
I looked more like Wyatt Earp last week.
I thought you were going to keep it and keep waxing and flipping. What happened?
Well, what happened is, just like no one else probably knows this because they're not touching my mustache, but right. One side was a way thinner than the other. I think I messed up grooming weeks ago. And so this side would naturally curl without me hardly having to do anything. This side wouldn't. And then I waked up, or even after the wax kind of wore off, it would always look messed up, and it was way thinner. So I'm like, I'm going to cut it off and start again.
And it also may be which one you mess with the most, too.
Could be.
But I do have one side that curls way easier, and the other side fights it.
Yeah, so it's just like one of those two.
I mean, it's so terrible.
But I'm digging it. And so, like, my family used to give me grief about it whenever I would do it because I don't normally
And now they
wear.
Like it.
They've actually told me more than once, like, you know, it doesn't look that bad.
You better keep it, man. Come on. You're at the you age now. I'm going to go ahead. Sometimes when family tells you things, it doesn't sink in, and it's better to hear it from someone outside of your family. You're going to, with a face like that, as you get older, you're going to want to put hair on it.
Right. Well, and I like this because there's no gray in it.
Dude, there's not.
Not. It's pristine. It's like 30 years younger than me.
Dude, it's so much younger than your chin. How is your upper lip, like literally 15 years younger than your chin?
What's odd is I rock the stash. I'm not a fireman. My brother is a fireman, and he don't have
he
one.
He don't have one.
I thought
right?
that was like a prerequisite.
You know, that's a great point.
You know, I don't know why.
I think I know why that mustache looks so good and so young.
Why is that?
It's been protected from the elements from that note.
Yeah, folks, I
folks,
do have a big
nose. He's
had
it broken a lot.
Well, that's why it was broken, is because it was already so large, right?
And I would say it's the better to smell things, but dude, it don't even work.
Man, this week especially, the pollen has been at a new level. I was just heard from the meteorologist this morning saying it's like one of the worst days of all time. And I'm like, yeah.
No, I believe it.
I believe it. Yeah. I can't even see.
Man. No, dude, it looks good. No gray. It's a good, dude, that's great. Mine started in the back, like back behind my jowls and under my chin and the back of the beard, and has slowly progressed its way out. Like instead of it in the front of it,
yeah,
it's literally like it started at the base of the neck turning gray and is just great. It's like something, my head is dying on the vine.
That's cool. You know, and like mullets are coming back.
If I could grow hair, I would have a mullet.
Me?
Would you get it like the permed? Remember, right? Like the real Arkansas waterfall down the back of your neck?
Yeah, who
would? Man,
wouldn't?
I love those.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Speaking of awesome.
Lay it on me.
We got another listener that called in with a story that I think y'all are going to like. It's pretty cool. It has to do with ghosts. And the guy that sent it in, his name is Marcos. I really appreciate it. But anyways, just like cliff notes for you. It's a story about his grandfather and his grandfather's dog who apparently passed away a while ago. But still, in that town where he lived, people to this day claim that they see him and that dog walking around. Check it out.
Hello there, this is Marcos, coming straight from New York. And I got a story to tell about apparitions, the one that's recently happened in 2022. Last year, my grandfather passed away due to COVID, and it's gonna be a little bit over a year since he passed away. It's gonna be a year this upcoming month of May and of 2022. And since January, mid-February, my grandpa lived in another country and passed away in another country, in his home country, Mexico. And my aunt, the youngest sister of the family, used to watch over him. And my grandma passed away in 2016. But this story is specifically about my grandpa. In the last 10 years of both my grandparents' lives, since 2010 or earlier, they got a Doberman Pinscher. That dog was huge. I'm 5'10", 5'11". That dog standing up on two paws would be almost my height easily. And this was in 2010. And you know, 10 years passed. That dog lived that long life. My grandma passed away, and he was very emotional. And when my grandma passed away, and then my grandpa passed away, and he passed away in the hospital. So the dog was waiting for him to come back. He was there when the ambulance, the paramedics took to the hospital my grandpa, and the dog just sat by the gate, the door, just waiting for the dog, for my grandpa to come back. And my aunt couldn't tell him, like, he told him, you know your father, your dad, grandpa, my dad, you know, my grandpa, her dad, is gone, he died. But the dog doesn't understand. He just waits and waits. Same thing when my grandma died, passed away. He was sitting by the door where she was laying, and we have a place, the place where you stay overnight, watching over the body. The dog sat in and was there with her and sitting next to her, to my grandma's body, and it was an emotional thing. But recently, as of February and all those things, my aunt has been talking to people that she knows. She works on the street market selling homemade cheese and specialty cheeses, and she's been saying that they've been seeing my grandpa walking around, but that's impossible, she would say, because my grandpa passed away in 2021, yeah. He got incinerated. The body was incinerated and buried in the graveyard. So that was an impossibility for that, because they burnt the body. But yeah, no, neighbors, people that knew my grandpa, that know my aunt and the family, say, yeah, I've seen your grandpa, your father, my grandpa, walking with his dog, because a Doberman at the last, you know, the last years of my grandpa's life would never leave my grandpa's side. And when my grandpa died and the dog would get out, he would, you know, just roam, sit by the corner store and just wait, you know, thinking that my grandpa was there. And even the store owner would say, you know, it was a sad story, because the dog would be intimidating, just sitting waiting for my grandpa to leave the store. And that would scare potential customers and would say, go knocking at my aunt's or my grandparents' home and say, excuse me, miss, can you just take the dog with you? Because customers are scared of walking into the store and buying, because the dog is just, you know, intimidating everyone. Sitting at the entrance of the store, or next to the door, and it's scary for people. And the dog wasn't small, again, he was a big boy. And he would also go a couple of blocks down and wait by the bus stop, where my grandpa would sit back and talk with somebody that he knew for years. The guy would have a little place where people would get off the bus and buy juices or buy a wrapped sandwich and stuff like that, or candy, little candies, and they would, you know, grab it and go. And the dog with my grandpa would sit there, to the point that my grandpa even had a seat next to the guy selling these things, and the dog would sit right next to him. And, you know, being Mexico, no, it would mess with an old man with his big intimidating Doberman pincher. And the dog was unleashed. He would go always unleashed next to him. He would never leave his side, and, you know, exactly what a Doberman would do. And the dog would go next to this guy once my grandpa passed away, and he would sit there waiting for my grandpa or something. And the gentleman that knew my grandpa would say, oh, you're waiting for your, and he knew that my grandpa had passed away, and he would say, oh, it's okay. And people, it was basically a bodyguard for the guy that at the street vendor. He's like, I know the dog, his owner passed away, and he would do that for the year. He, by the way, the dog also passed away like in January of 2022, and he also apparently died of probably COVID. He suffocated when the dog was, you know, doing that, like, that hard breathing. My aunt would say, oh no, and he would go go at the door where my grandpa and my grandma used to live. At the later years, my grandpa only used to live, And my aunt would go and occasionally clean the place. But, you know, since the emotions were still, you know, high about the place, she would barely open the door and, you know, just dust the place, clean the place as if, you know, my grandparents were still going to go to sleep there or stuff like that. Her coping mechanism. And the dog just, you know, that recently in January, like, you know, having those breathing problems, just ran in and, you know, found something like the rug where my grandparents would, you know, put their feet, would just lay there and just made ball himself up, looking like as if it was scared, just, you know, balling himself and having that breathing problem. It was, oh no. And my aunt grabbed like an old shirt of my grandpa and he said, here, you can have the shirt. And the dog grabbed it, smelled it, and just started crying and rolling over it, you know, saying, oh, like, and it made my aunt cry. That said, no, let's go. And the dog followed her with the shirt. He wouldn't let the shirt go, and he went to the place where it was in the same house where my grandma was, you know, having that eulogy, I want to say, that they watch over her over the night in the other house. And she opened that door and the dog just ran in under the table where my grandma was, you know, being laid overnight, and just with the shirt just, you know, there, he would ball himself up and he having those breathing problems. I was like, oh no. And like in 24 hours the dog passed away. Not even a month later, people would be seeing my grandpa with his Doberman walking around, you know, the streets where he used to walk, literally his haunts, if you will. And that's my story, that people, places have memories of people that passed away, even a year after the end, a month for the dog, maybe even less, that passed away. So, you know, this is Marcos from New York, just wanting to share a story that happened in my family. Thank you, Expanded Perspectives. You guys are awesome. Stay frosty.
Man, what do you think about that, right? Very cool.
I love that.
So we talk about this on the show all the time. Is that actually the ghosts that are walking around, or is it like somehow like a time replaying an image from when they were walking around? I don't know.
Yeah. It is very cool.
Very cool. Thank you so much for sending that in, Marcos. If you have a story you'd like to share with the show, call the number 888-393-2783, or you can email the show, as always, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Cam, what's up with you, man?
Man, I found, of course, I can't leave a headline alone. You know this?
Sure.
If there's one thing you know about me, that's, you know what's funny is you would think I'd get stuck on clickbait more than I do. But I don't. Like, I don't ever look for it there. It's just creepy headlines. You kind of got to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when one of them jumps out at you like this, let me read this headline. The night that Freddy Krueger followed me home.
What?
That's what I said. Says here. Now, of course, my homie Lon said, hey, look, dig this. Kyle and I have talked at length, and y'all have been along for the ride, as we've discussed things in the movies like we've talked about with Predator, any of these deals. Is like, did it get ideas from movies, or did movies spurn the idea?
Right.
And then we thought formed it. And I want you to listen to this right here. It says a California man was helping his friend move, and at one point he locked his keys in the car and decided to walk home. On the way, he encountered several bizarre and threatening individuals. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 4th of July weekend back in 1988, and I was helping a friend move. There were four of us doing the moving, and it was extremely hot in the San Jacinto Valley in California. We had a pool at his apartment, so I wore swim shorts and a tank top, and we took periodic pool breaks to cool off. We got done around midnight, and I left to drive home approximately 30 miles. At the halfway point, I stopped in a town to get gas, and I pumped the gas and went in to pay for it, plus a pack of smokes and a can of Mountain Dew. Coming out, I found that I had locked the car door out of habit. I reached in my pocket for the keys, and I found it was empty. I looked in, and there they were, in between the bucket seats, where they had slid out of my swim shorts' shallow pockets. The girl working the station tried to find a coat hanger for us to use, but they didn't have anything. I tried calling home and remembered everyone went camping and wouldn't be back for a couple days. I tried hitchhiking, but the holiday traffic at the time was dead. So I ended up walking almost 15 miles home, but I did get two rides. One from some college students on their way back to school, which brought me to the next town. By then, it was around 2 a.m. This small town had rolled up the sidewalks about 5 hours before that, so I walked through it on my way home. No streetlights back then, and also I found out that the first thing I would pass on the outskirts of that town is a cemetery. As I walked along the edge of the cemetery, I heard the sound of the chain-link fence rattling about 50 yards away. I figured a deer must have jumped up the fence, and I peered through the graves to try to see it. There was a lit-up factory on the other side of the cemetery that backlit what I thought would be a deer. But what I saw made my shoulder-length hair stand on end. It was a guy that looked like Freddy Krueger running at me with a fedora hat, long, sharp knife-blade fingernails, and a striped sweater in that heat. He was leaping over graves and peeking at me from behind taller monuments. It looked like he knew his way around the graveyard pretty well in the dark. I think maybe he thought I was a woman with my long hair and wearing those swim-type clothes. All I had for a weapon was my unopened can of Mountain Dew. I looked in the ditch and found a long metal stake that was once a road sign support. I grabbed it up and noticed it also had a nice sharp edge and was perfect length and weight for a walking stick. I also found a plastic bag, and I put the pop can in there so I could swing it if I need to. I'm gonna stop right there, because all I can imagine is you making one good swing with one of them cheap plastic, and it coming out like a like a sling, and it rips out of there. Ooh, can you imagine?
Mm-mm. Yeah, but this guy's really good at thinking on his feet.
Right?
I mean, he's already found and thought up of two new weapons
what
in
I
just
love
a few seconds.
Is there's no flight. It's all fight.
Yeah, like,
come
like,
get it.
Like I mean, I'm saying he has a good presence right? of mind. Like, he already got two weapons.
But he didn't even think about running. Just like, nah, I don't think so.
Want to show weakness.
Yeah, right. If you're going to do it, you're going to have it to do. That dude followed me for a couple miles, paralleling me off to the side. Past the cemetery, we went up past a couple of farmhouses. I thought of walking up to them for some help, but at 3 a.m, I thought I might get shot. Or how did I know it wasn't his house? A couple of the places had farm dogs that ran out to viciously bark at me as I passed. Then I could hear them bark at him as he followed. Nothing happened in that neighborhood. Then I came near a wildlife park. I bravely strolled through the pitch blackness, hearing animals all around me, through swamps and over bridges, until I came to another town on the other side. By that time, it was almost 5 a.m., I think. I walked past a restaurant that wasn't open yet and staggered around the corner. Evidently, I lost my pursuer somewhere in the wilderness. I looked up above and saw some vultures keeping an eye on me. I heard quite a noise and looked behind me, and there in an old car, it looked like Norman Bates driving, and his mother sitting next to him. They kept their car right on my heels and wouldn't pass me for some reason. I couldn't believe it. Then a big 4x4 pulled up and asked me if I needed a ride. I got in and the guy was drunk and told me his wife had just kicked him out. He asked what I was doing out that early. I told him my story. He ended up driving me the rest of the way home. When I got home, I slept for a few hours. Then I called the cops. I thought they would blow me off about this bizarre tale of Freddy, but they were interested and had an investigator call me back. He was real serious and told me they had found a young lady a couple of weeks before that had been butchered in that area. And I hoped I helped with that investigation some. M.
Wow.
Now, look.
Like you brought up before you started reading it. Is it something that we've created with our own thought? Did he have an overactive imagination? Because Freddy, the first Nightmare on Elm Street came out in 1984. Mm-hmm. Or was it like a copycat? Like, this guy literally is a serial killer. He likes to kill women, but he likes to play with them. And what he's going to do is he's going to dress like Freddy Krueger
yeah.
before he abducts them, rapes them, kills them.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it could be.
Some people, these sickos, they get enjoyment out of your fear.
Yeah.
And he's exactly right. If it's night and he had long, flowing, beautiful hair, the guy probably did think it was a woman.
Well, I like the part that he left in about the dogs barking at
him. Yeah, so the dog saw it too.
And that makes me think it was more of a person. And it, you know,
that's
you're right. This may have been simply that, is they're playing on that fear.
Playing on a fear.
So this may as well just have been an encounter with a serial killer.
Well, I know when the, what's the one with Mike Myers? What's that called?
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
No. The, these multiple series of him. With Jamie Austin Lee Curtis? Powers. No, with Jamie Lee Curtis. What's the name of the killer?
Are you talking about Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween. That's it. When those movies first came out, there were several actual murders where people were dressed like Michael Myers.
Really?
They were doing it to scare the people that they were going to murder.
Makes sense.
I guess if you're, you know, like just kill them isn't good enough. You want them to wet their pants and be terrified.
But there's always that one, right? Just like this dude here. There's always that one that starts looking for weapons. And you're like, there's always that one. That's all it takes. Be that one.
Yeah.
Always be that one.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Scary story.
Always.
Nonetheless, very scary.
Yeah, for real.
Let's take a break because we got to take, you know, we got to pay the bills around here. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be sharing some more stories with you. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. We're back.
Yeah. So what we decided to do, we have some more crazy, creepy stories, of course, but we're also going to play it more of like an OTC again, because Kyle and I had been discussing some news that we didn't like to hear, finally. And I don't know if it's because of I was such a fan or our age, whatever it is. But when I found out that Bruce Willis was retiring due to the illness that he has, dude, I was bummed out.
Yeah, it is pretty sad.
Right? I'm super
because he's not
bummed
that
out.
Old. So I mean, he's got a lot of good movies he could continue to make.
Now, I know he's made some turds in the past, but I mean, doesn't everybody? I mean, are you proud of everything you've done?
Daniel Day-Lewis is probably.
Right. Yeah, he probably.
But he's busy cobbling shoes.
That's probably right. Yeah, it just was one of those deals, man. I don't know. It just bummed me out. I was like, because. You think, like, what do you, I remember him from the television series Moonlighting.
I do too. I remember that. And, like, the first movie that I saw that I really liked was Blind Date with Kim Basinger.
Yep.
I thought that was because it was like a comedy, right? Rom com. It was,
well, that was just hilarious. Like in Moonlighting. I thought it was great, but you're right. That movie was funny.
That's the one that really, like, kind of put him on my map. And then, of course, the iconic Die Hard, the first one. That's still a part of my.
Is that
annual
your Christmas?
Repertoire. Every Christmas, I watch Die Hard once, if not twice, every year. I mean, it's just even the other ones are pretty good, but the first one is like it's flawless, man. It's perfect.
Yeah, I think of all. I'm trying to think. Hudson Hawk. Have you seen that one?
I've seen that.
Okay,
yeah.
It's kind of silly, right?
It is silly,
but I like it.
I'm a
big fan. What about Death Becomes Her? I always laughed at. My wife gets a kick out of that older movie. Of course, I love Pulp Fiction.
That was like, yes, I remember that too, because that was like, that whole movie was like a really, it wasn't like when I went to see it, this was still back before there was trailers like on YouTube, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't really know what to expect. In fact, I didn't even see it in the theater. At the time, my girlfriend was working at Blockbuster and I think she had seen it and was like, this is right up your alley. You're going to have to watch this. And so, because she worked there, she could, you know, anytime somebody bought one of the new releases back, she could hold it for me.
And that's how you get to see it?
I got it. I went home and I was by myself and I watched it. I mean, you know that movie. I mean,
It's
wild. You're like, what? From scene to scene to scene, especially with Bruce Willis's scenes with the whole gimp and that whole thing and the spider, you know, caught a couple flies.
Spider caught a couple flies.
I remember being like in shock. Like, what am I watching? But it's still a fantastic movie.
Still great.
Some of the movies like you talked about that didn't hold up was like The Last Boy Scout.
Yeah.
I remember liking it, you know, at the time. But at the time, I was 14.
I remember liking one, too, at the time. And because, look, I love The Fifth Element, okay?
I
love that show. You realize he made The Fifth Element in 1997.
Golly.
It's the same year he released the movie The Jackal with Richard Gere. And that movie was atrocious.
It was good. My favorite part was like when he's testing out that new gun and he blows Jack Black's arm completely off.
It was a terrible movie.
Yeah, but that part was good.
That part was.
I really liked
when
that.
He's telling him to hold the pack of smokes up.
Yeah.
Guess it's off a little bit.
Yeah.
What about Armageddon? Was you a fan of Armageddon?
Armageddon's a good movie. Now, let's all jokes aside, there's a lot of, you know, you hear the Aerosmith background. Mm-hmm. A lot of people make funny, but that's a good movie.
That is a good movie, yeah.
It is a good movie. I remember watching and being a big fan of Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
Oh, where he's like a gangster in that like Western town. I remember I liked it because, of course, folks, it's got lots of gunplay in it. Yeah. If it's got a lot of shooting in it, I'm down.
You're pretty much down, right?
Especially when I was a kid. I don't need any plots. Do you like anything?
I love it whenever, of course, I'm a big fan of The Expendables because it's all the shows whenever they dump him in there. I think now, and I liked the movie The Sixth Sense, okay. But my favorite movie I think that he's ever done for me, Fifth Element's up there, but I love the movie Unbreakable.
Yeah, that's a
good one. I love that film.
That is a good one.
I don't know what it is about it. I just, that's you know a good a one.
That's kind of a sleeper that most people don't think of. Yeah. That has actually got a pretty good twist to it. Is Lucky Number 11.
Lucky Number 11's very good. Yeah, I liked it.
That is another movie that I never heard about it.
Yeah.
It just came on HBO or something, and I ended up watching it, and it turned out it had a really cool plot twist.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I really enjoyed. So, man, it is kind of bumming that he's not going to be able to make movies. Now, I'm not even familiar with what kind of the sickness he has. Did he receive some kind of head trauma or something? But it's not Alzheimer's, but it's messed up his speech so bad that I don't think he can remember his lines.
It's aphasia, I believe is what it's called. Aphasia.
I heard that in the last project he was working on that he had to wear like earbuds and they would like have to feed in the lines pretty much the whole time. So I don't know if it's jacking with his short-term memory.
Well, it is. I believe it's a disorder to where you're going to forget how to do everything. Like this is the snowball effect.
That's rough.
Of like it does.
I think I'm starting down that path as I'm getting. I mean, I am noticing myself getting older. What I mean is, week by week, there's little things like, and my kids let me know about it because, of course, they're teenagers and they're seeing me slipping. Yeah. Like I apparently am old because I text everybody in like perfect English, like grammatically. They'll use like code.
I don't like the code.
I don't understand what the code means.
I don't like it. I think it's laziness. Look, you're already being lazy by texting.
my kids will send me all the time text full words. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is. And my wife will laugh. That means blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, how do I know that?
Yeah, yeah.
And all this, you know, whatever codes they're using. Like, what's wrong with just, like you said, it's the epitome of laziness.
It is.
You're not. Because my kids are the same way with calling. I can call them. They won't answer the phone. If I text them, immediately they'll respond.
Well, look, I'm on that page. I wished my phone you couldn't call. I wished you could only text.
Yeah, why don't they make just a text only?
That's all I need. I just need just a text. I don't want to talk to people. But I don't like the text code because of that. I think it missed us. Because, look, we got into text, but I think we got into text when it starts.
Do you remember when texting you was actually charged you per text?
Yes. Do you remember when you had to push the letter, like the number 6? 1, 2, 3, 4. There's that one. You need to go to the next number.
There was no touch screen. I mean, you had to.
See, I think that's why we got to where we spell. Of course, I know a lot of people back then used to shortcut it, too.
I do shortcut it some. But I'm talking my kids. It's like reading a different language. I don't know what they're saying.
So, remember you and I were talking before all this stuff. And I said, hey, I wanted to ask you a question on air and see if you remember it. Do you remember the first time you got drunk on beer? Now, I know the first time you probably got drunk on whiskey was when you and I were together and we were 14. I'm talking about like on beer. When was the first time? And I'm not talking about like, I drank a part of my dad's beer.
Right.
I'm talking like sneaking a beer because that was always like step one.
So you're talking about sneaking one of the first time I was plowed. Like which one?
Because let's not say what was the first time you. So the first time you ever drank a beer, did you drink 3 or 4 when you were by yourself?
No, the first time it was just one, and I didn't really care for it. And it was something super simple. Like there was a get together. There was a get together, and there was a whole bunch of guys, and all of them had coolers, and all of them had beers, and I went and took one, and then drank it, and then
that was it.
I think the first time I was like, ugh, like this is terrible.
Why how old were you? Like, how old do you think you were?
Probably 11. You got to remember, the family that I grew up in, they were all power drinkers.
I was telling somebody this the other day. I'm like, there's not many people can probably say they've watched their father get into a fist fight more than once. I've watched my father fight five different times throughout my life, other grown men and beat the hell out of them. And I've witnessed this ever since I was about 8 years old. Like we would be at rodeos. We would be in beer joints. That's the kind of. So when you think about that, that's the life that we grew up in.
But there's the reason is fist fighting is not really a thing anymore.
No, it's not.
In the streets. Like now, that's why there's so many shootings. Back then, two guys had a problem. You could literally get in a fist fight, work things out. The cops may show up. They may just break it up. But now,
Do you ever remember the cops showing up to any fist fights we were ever involved? No. I remember running from the cops in Mineral Wells whenever we got everybody the big ruckus at the football game. The only time I ever remember the cops showing up was when we were all at the river and they couldn't come down there. So they sent the game warden down there. Are you boys fishing? You know, and there's like underage drinkers and everything.
Yeah.
And then the game warden sees it and then he calls the cop, but they're all waiting right up there on the road, right? No, the reason I'd ask about the beers because, like, I'll tell you my time in a second, but when you and I were talking about the things that you don't see as we got older, we were telling your boys about cigarettes and the fact that when we went to high school, there was a courtyard in the center of our high school.
That's right.
That had doors, entrance all the way around, beautiful courtyard. And in between classes, we would go outside there to smoke cigarettes. Yeah, y'all heard me, folks. We were 16 years old. You're smoking cigarettes in the courtyard of your high school with your teachers. Your teachers that smoked would be out there during their 15-minute breaks in between class on a smoke break. And the boys have no grasp of that even being a thing.
Well, no. But see, like vaping is rampant. It's everywhere. But like legitimate cigarettes, they don't know or see it at all. You got to think about when they go to the barbershop, no one's smoking cigarettes. You go to the movie theater,
no
one's smoking
cigarettes. They even go to the barbershop?
Yeah, right. No, we can't.
You mean the barber doesn't smoke? I mean, I know your barber and he smoked while he cut your hair.
They had built-in ashtrays in the chair.
Yeah.
I remember you could smoke on airplanes, but they don't, when you go to restaurants, there's no smoking. So literally they don't see it.
They've grown up with a life of that.
And if they do see cigarette smoke, they're just like, what is that person doing? Why wouldn't you vape? You can get vape. It tastes like unicorn milk or whatever crazy flavor.
It's true.
It's a different world. There's no fist fighting anymore. That's why everybody's getting shot.
Well, we were also laughing about, talking about the beer. So I'm going to tell you this whole story. This started when I was in junior high. This happened when I was in junior high. I remember Jimmy Tooley.
I do.
All right. So Jimmy, good friend of ours, him and I were hanging out. We were in seventh grade. His sister she's a little older. I want to say she might have been graduated. She was either a senior or had already graduated. I can't remember. I think she might have been a senior. Maybe she was a junior or senior. Anyway, her boyfriend had beers. And so we were hanging out with them. And we're drinking beer with them, right? We each get our bottle of beer.
How old were you? What grade were you in?
Seventh grade.
So seventh grade, you would have been...
Like 12?
Yeah, like 12.
So I'm drinking a beer, right?
Trying to be cool.
Dude, I'm trying to be cool. I ended up drinking like 3. It was awful. And we went to the movies when it was still there on the square here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see...
It's not even there now. Now they bulldozed that.
That whole place is gone. Yeah. We went to see Nightbreed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, for a 12-year-old, maybe 13-year-old, 12 to 13, right around in there, drunk on 3 beers, that's not the movie you want to go see.
With Kinski.
Yeah.
Pelequin.
And then the very first time I ever tried the electric lettuce, the jazz cabbage, it was me and you, and we was over at our buddy Joe's place. We were sitting in his bedroom, and he acts like he don't remember.
No, I remember.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember which time.
Yeah. Well, this was like the first time. This was the time his old man snuck up on us. Remember on the screen?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
We were sitting by the window. I was leaned up against by the window where we had the window open so we could blow the smoke out. And his old man snuck around. There's no way he didn't know what we were doing in there.
Absolutely.
Because it looked like a Cheech and Chong party as it was rolling out of that screen.
Well,
and
he starts
squealing, making like a cat noise and scratching all over the screen, right? Like a monster trying to get in, if you will. And I'm leaned up against the door or the wall right beside the window. Like not beside, I mean like the window's behind my head perfectly. And I thought I was going to wet my pants.
It was one of those things I remember just being shocked. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He absolutely had to know.
Way he didn't know. That's the kind of places. But yeah, so that was the kind of things I was wondering so what was your story? You had, when you said you got plowed. So you had one beer you stole.
Yeah. And then I think, it progressed. So like the next time I probably took 2 because there was always like big get togethers, chili cook-offs, Halloween parties,
14.
Yeah. And then, so it just progressed over time. And then I think, but my first time being like really plowed was like the same as you. It probably was 4.
Yeah.
4 beers. You know, you're lightweight. Yeah. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know. First of all,
that's probably what it would take me now.
And then
literally,
I remember
3 beers, I'd be done.
Like in high school, of course, you'll take whatever you can get. So literally, you'll drink anything.
Oh, right? It doesn't matter.
Those 2-liter bottles of Purple Passion, Everclear. Like, what wine coolers?
Mickey's Wide Mouth.
I remember when, like, Zima was new.
And Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah. I mean, anything. Now it's like, oh, my God. What are you, or what was the, Boone's Farm?
Oh, Strawberry Hill?
Yeah, yeah. A Brass
if
Monkey.
If I smell it, I'll throw up.
Oh, yeah. That stuff's garbage. Mad Dog. Night Train.
Oh, yeah. Oldie. Mickey's.
That's what I'm saying. When you're in high school, you'll take whatever you can get. Nowadays, that's ridiculous. But I don't know if kids are the same now. Now, it's so much easier to get these, like, cake bars, these, you know, variants, these Delta variants and vape form and stuff that they're just not really interested in.
Didn't y'all used to do a lumberjack weekend?
Yeah, but that was like in college. You're talking about when I was young.
I remember showing up over there one time and somebody came out and had two 40s, had a 40 duct taped to each hand.
Yeah, that's Edward just 40 like, hands.
Yes, just
yeah.
Edward 40 hands.
I never did that. I can't do that kind of stuff.
No.
Because when I started drinking the beers, I mean, my bladder's like the size of a squirrel. So that I could never make it.
Yeah.
That I have to give myself like alcohol poisoning.
Or just wet your pants.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody does that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, if you haven't, don't admit to that, you're a liar. Right? There's two types of people in this world.
Those that pee in the shower and liars.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they are.
Exactly. But yeah, it's a different world. I can feel myself getting older. The texting, the way I text isn't just one thing. I notice from time to time there'll be like a celebrity that they're profiling on the news, whether it's an artist or an actress, actor, and I don't even know who these people are. And I don't care to, really. I mean, I'm just like, oh, wow, I don't even know who that is. I don't know what they did.
You don't even know what they're talking to them about.
Yeah, and then I will, like, something simple, like a rap song will come on, like an old school rap song, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, Young MC or like Tone Loc or something like
that.
And I'll be like, Jacob, check out this rap song. And they'll be like, this isn't rap. What is this?
Let him listen to Funky Cole Medina.
It's vice versa for me. Like I listen to his stuff.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But as far as like what the artists are,
Tell me their names.
I'm lost. I can see now when I look.
Did they forget about Dre?
Yeah. Apparently the younger generation has. I can see my mom struggling with the internet. And I can see myself starting.
It's coming.
So I know I'm already down that path. You don't notice when you make the fork in the road, but you definitely notice that I'm noticing that I'm on it.
That, yeah. You don't notice it until it's past you.
Well, there's nothing worse than when you see a guy in his 50s or 60s that doesn't know he's on the path. He still thinks he's on this path, right? And you're like, bro.
It's left you, man.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Like this is true.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is true.
You're like, you'll see a guy and he's dressed like a 20-year-old, but he's in his 50s. It reminds like the guy on, what was that show?
Those are the people that I yell do a kickflip at.
With the Tiger King. Remember the guy had the Oakley hat and the do-rag? And you're like, bro, you're 60 years old. Why are you dressed like that?
Yeah.
You're not in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Settle down. You own an exotic animal zoo in Oklahoma.
Looks like he's fully sponsored by Affliction.
Did you see? Yeah, right. That was a hot thing for like one summer.
Yeah.
I saw where Joe Exotic got divorced.
I thought old girl was going to help him. The one that he allegedly tried to.
Carol Baskin.
I thought she was going to work with him and get him out of the jail.
I don't know. Well, it's a complicated documentary. I remember it came out, and the only reason it was really big is because of the pandemic. People had nothing else to do.
You know, here's my thing before you go any further. I didn't research and read into it. I'm only taking the side of the documentary, so I really know nothing about it, right?
I don't either. That's exactly what I'm saying. And
I'm
know
talking from out of my ass, basically, if I'm telling anything about it.
Previous documentaries on other things, a lot of times they're not necessarily lying to you. They're just not telling you the whole thing.
Yeah, and conveniently, they don't share the whole story.
And in that documentary, there's such that story is so crazy that to me, there's got to be a whole lot of information that was left out. Because you take stuff out of context.
I will tell you this. I can tell you that you're 100% right, and here's how I know it.
Yeah.
If you put that documentary on mute and watched it, I'd still go, oh, there's a whole lot more to this story. Yeah. You don't even have to hear anything. When you see the Affliction guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see the way Joe Exotic's dressed. And remember when the tiger grabs him and he's like threatening to shoot it with his pistol and it's pulled? I thought they were playing a game when I'm watching it on TV. I don't realize like this could really be the end.
It pulled one of the helper's arms off.
Yes.
Yeah, that
dude, that whole story's insane.
The Affliction guy.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about
Because
Tiger
you were
King
talking song? About getting off on the dude, like forgetting to get off the train of somebody, fashion. He's afraid to be an old guy.
Right. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I can't believe that it is hard. I will say that for real. It is difficult to be going through this thing of looking at now I'm an older guy.
But at least you recognize that you're going through it.
Oh, yeah. But it's one of those things you think you're prepared for it. And all y'all listening right now, all you men listening right now that are in their early 20s, you know, even if you're like early 30s, buckle up. There's going to be things happen to you, because I will tell you the worst thing. And here's the thing that every man will acknowledge right now, whether there's somebody around you or not, or you just hear it, you're going to know it's true. The biggest hit to a man's ego is when other men quit finding them threatening.
Yeah.
When you no longer look or have the ability to truly defend yourself as a man, it's a hit.
Yeah.
It's hard. That's the reason that we push so hard for so long. That's the reason we keep going and going and going and going and going till we burn out into the dirt. That's the reason Kyle and I, not to be a tough guy, you're not trying to, it's just that you protect your family, protect those that you love. It's in our instinct. And when that passes, it's hard to deal with. And when you can see that start, when you see that age and know, okay, this is when it actually starts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's when you're like, oh, okay. Like my knee doesn't quite hold up like it used to. Like now I don't know if it ever will.
Right.
So those are hard to deal with.
And you got
to
remember, like sometimes you're in your mind, you about wanting to pop off to somebody and then you got to catch yourself. You're like, if I do say that, it's probably not going to go well for me.
Yeah. So that's why I've just become a cook. Nobody wants to kill or beat up the chef. And then when you talk noise, I poison you. That's how it works. See? Old age and treachery.
Yeah, right. But it's crazy. The times are changed.
I got to ask you this too, because we get it. We get emailed and asked questions about it often when we're talking about playing D&D of, you know, what's our favorite stuff to play and all this, that, and the other. But I'm going to have Kyle tell you, we're about to start a brand new campaign with our good friend that writes D&D things, everything that you need to play,
modules,
of anything 5e, he covers it. So in fact, we'll have Kyle, I'll put the link in the show notes of where we're fixing to play. He just released one and he's about to run the campaign that he just released for us. So Kyle has really pulled one out of his butt real quick. Tell him what you're going to play.
I'm going to play a Yuan Ti Pure Blood.
Which is a snake person.
Yeah, folks. I'm going to be a snake. I'm a Slytherin snake.
He's a snake wizard, and I'm going to be a Herengon blood hunter. For any of you that are Critical Role fans, that's what Molly Mock was. And the Herengon is, I'm a 5-foot-tall rabbit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So we're going to see how long these guys survive, how long they last.
Yeah, we were thinking
not
about
very.
Also talking about perhaps coming up with a module and that others could play, and they could play the same one that we're playing, and then they would kind of have insight about it and stuff. That'd be cool.
And that we could actually maybe add cryptids and different – we could add a lot of spice to it. So
like an expanded perspectives
– module.
5e module.
Yes.
In the future. Not right now, but we're thinking of doing something like that. That would be pretty cool.
We're thinking about kicking it around. Hey, speaking of pretty cool, I got this sent. I want to read this to y'all. This is about a cylinder-shaped UFO. They say rendezvous and transfer occupants over Northeast Texas, y'all. Get a load of this. Now, this is one that came from back in, I believe, in 2001, but it says, I want to share something. I'm sorry, 2011. I want to share something strange and unusual that happened on this Easter Sunday night, April 24th. I had been to a church's Easter service and was driving to get back home on a desolate farm-to-market road, as there was not much traffic on it day or night. The night was very clear and stars were bright and beautiful. I saw in the east, as I was driving east, a very bright star, or at least that's what I first perceived. But then I noticed that this star or this object was moving. So I made a U-turn, pulled my vehicle off to the side of the road to get a better view. It kept approaching and getting larger as it came forward and finally to a complete stop. So I get out of my vehicle to get a better look. Don't ever do that, y'all. I realized that this was not a star, and it was rather huge object, sort of like a silver cylinder, and it had a red, orange, green, and white lights on top of it. I thought this was strange by this object coming to a complete standstill, and I couldn't hear any noise. I, just for a second, glanced to my left, which was north, and I saw this other bright star, again, that is what I again perceived, coming from the north, and as it came closer, it had the same color lights on it. Well, it approached the other standstill object, and it came to a stop as well. I was so amazed and shocked that I happened to look at my watch, and it was 10:15 p.m. The two objects remained stationary, and the only thing that was active were the rotating lights on both objects. After about 10 minutes, the object that came from the north extended a wide red laser or something similar to the other object, and that went on for about 15 minutes. They seemed to be a distance between the objects when this wide red laser went to the other object, and it reminded me of someone or something rolling out a red carpet. And at times I saw what looked like little black dots within this red whatever. After about 15 minutes, this red carpet started retracting back into the northern object. When that happened, this object from the east, after close to 5 minutes, started moving sideways to the south, then moved upward and then shot to the south at a high rate of speed and finally disappeared. The other northern object, after the first object had disappeared going south, started to lift high and then shot off at a high rate of speed back to the north from whence it came, and it disappeared. I don't know what I saw that night, but I will never forget it. I have not spoken to anyone about what I have seen, so I figure that they were making a transfer of something, or maybe not, but I've thought about this red carpet scenario several times since. And where these two objects were and how they came so close side by side, both stationary, and had this extension between them, and then both leaving at a high rate of speed, is extremely strange. Anyway, this is what I saw on Easter Sunday night. I eventually made it home, but my thoughts of these two objects were on my mind for days to come, and I still think about them from time to time.
Wow. What a bizarre encounter.
So they saw something here in Northeast Texas transferring. I've never heard of a transfer taking place like that in the sky.
I've heard of UFOs like swooping low by like power stations and transferring what looks like they're like recharging their batteries or something. I've heard of stories like that, but not a transfer of something between two crafts.
No, nothing like this.
I think of like a fighter jet refueling.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That is strange.
The weird thing, too, is with the lights. Why is there lights on it? If it travels through space, why do you need safety lighting?
I've always wondered that.
Unless, again, it's ours. But then what are you transferring? What are you collecting? What are you transferring? Is there anything even on board other than is it samples that they're dropping off? And my other question was this. If you could both shoot up into the space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can fly around and do whatever, why on earth would you come down to Earth and come to a standstill and transfer things in between?
Yeah. Why do it in front of everybody?
Unless those things transferring in between, I mean, they're not contained. They can't be transferred in the vacuum of space. Would it kill them? Whatever. What is it? It brings up so many questions. I can't wrap my head around it.
Maybe it was people that, the abductees.
Maybe
transferring abducted people.
Yeah, maybe it was just like a bus. And that's one bus to the next bus. It comes in and drops off, and then it transfers you over, and then you get on that one and go again.
I don't know.
What is it?
I got a pretty cool one here for you. Check this out. It says, hey, Bruds, I got a story I'd like to share. It says, the missus and myself always loved to travel before we had to settle down with our children. There is one trip that I will never forget. We were visiting San Francisco, indulging in the culture and stopping by some tourist attractions. Since we were always traveling back then, we liked to budget ourselves and stay at cheap motels. The people working there were always nice, and we didn't have to spend too much money. It was a long day on the road, so we decided to finally settle down. We found an old motel just outside the town and were greeted by a friendly couple that seemed to be in their 70s. We checked in. We gave our deposit, and the woman led us to our room. She said, I hope you don't mind, but some say that this motel is haunted. That's what she said to us. Now, my wife and I exchanged looks, and we've kind of heard this type of story before. Owners will say stuff like that just to make the stay more interesting and maybe even get a little extra cash. So we thought that she was just playing around with us. The old woman dropped off our luggage in our room and began to leave, but stopped in the doorway. She said continental breakfast starts being served at 7 o'clock sharp. That's what the woman told us. I gave her my thanks and slipped her a $5 bill for her help, and she was on her way. I looked around to survey the room. Nothing out of the ordinary. Two twin beds, a bathroom and a sink, a toilet and a shower, and a 24-inch TV screen. But then I noticed something strange about the room. The windows, they had been barred shut by a bunch of 2x4s. The nails holding them in place were rusted over to show that they've been there for a while. I didn't think anything of it at first, and I went to brush my teeth. One thing everyone should know about me is that I'm a particularly light sleeper. So, after I finished getting ready for bed, I went over to the door and made sure it was locked. It was. I then slipped onto the small twin-sized mattress. It was hot out that night, so I decided to sleep on top of my sheets. I woke up to the feeling of a strong breeze, much stronger than the rickety old ceiling fan that was hanging from the ceiling. I rolled over to check my watch. It said 2:07 a.m. Another cold breeze hit me, and I noticed something very peculiar. The window that was barred shut by wooden planks was now wide open, and the wood was nowhere to be seen. I looked over at my wife, and she was fast asleep in her twin bed. Then I heard a rustling under my bed. I immediately assumed that some type of critter must have snuck in through the window and was now taking refuge somewhere safe. So I lowered my head with caution. I was shocked when I saw that it was the old man from before hiding under my bed.
What?
He said, I grabbed him by the collar and I dragged him out. And I said, what the hell are you doing in here? I yelled at him. My wife was still sleeping. The man didn't say anything to me. He just gave me an off-putting smile. I threw him against the wall and I said, get the hell out of here or I'm calling the police. That's what I told him. Now I was half angry at this man because he was invading our privacy, but also I was a little scared, wondering how the heck he even got in there. Looking back at the clock, I realized there was nothing I could do about it now, so I went back to sleep. When I woke up the next morning, my wife and I each showered and got ready for the day of sightseeing and some more great local food. I noticed that the window was barred shut, and our door was still locked. I thought to myself, I must have just had a wacky dream. We went downstairs around 8:30 for the continental breakfast. We were greeted by the woman. She said, I hope you both slept well, she said in a very calm and tender voice. I said, well, I had a pretty interesting slumber, I told her. I said, I do need to speak with your husband, though. I found him under my bed last night at around 2, and I roughed him up a little bit. The woman's face instantly turned ghostly white. She said, was the window open? I said, how did you... She said, my husband has been dead for 10 years now. He died when a burglar threw him out of that window, and sometimes he still haunts that room, waiting for the man to come back so he can have his revenge. I didn't know what to say. My wife and I immediately packed up our things, and we left. And to this day, I still feel uneasy when I think about it. Thanks for all you do, your friend John.
Whoa. Physical contact.
Physical confrontation.
Dude, that's unnerving.
Crazy, crazy story. I appreciate that, John. I don't even know what to say to you.
No. I don't know.
But you would be the same way. You looked under the bed and you saw the man under the bed. You'd be like, what are you?
Oh, it's on, right?
Right, yeah.
You're like, it's on.
I mean, luckily he didn't beat him up. He just kind of yelled at him. He said he grabbed him by the collar, threw him against the wall.
But that was physical.
And the windows crazy. Were barred from the inside with 2x4s, and they were gone when he woke up. But in the morning, they were there again.
It's like a time slip, something. I'm going to share this with you before we take a quick break. Sure. I got to tell you about this. It says, you're going to get a kick out of this. For about 2 years, I worked as an instructor at a therapeutic wilderness program in Western North Carolina. I was in charge of at-risk youth. And my job included all the responsibilities and nuances associated with that. Shifts ran 16 days straight, on the clock, 24/7 of that time, and all spent backpacking. My second winter there, I was with a group at our primitive base camp. It was basically a collection of different yurt camps on the grounds of an old Christian campground. It had just snowed that evening, and a fresh blanket had covered camp in the hours since we'd laid down for bed. At about 1 a.m., a student woke me to go to the bathroom. I was required to stay awake until that student returned. The student did his duty, then returned to the yurt. "There's somebody out there," he whispered nonchalantly. "Huh?" I said. "I saw a guy up by the fire pit just now. Dude in a flannel shirt just standing there." I got up, looked out the yurt window. Nothing. I figured he was probably just a little out of it, and we went back to sleep. After about an hour or so, I had to go to the bathroom, so I slipped my camp shoes on and walked outside the yurt. Upon returning, I glanced over to the fire pit and saw a man standing there in the moonlight looking at me. It was so bright I could see the plaid pattern on the flannel. I immediately went for my brand new high-powered hand light and cast 900 lumens on him. He vanished before the beam of light hit him. Just gone. I woke up a co-instructor, and we searched the camp to make sure another group didn't have a run in progress or something along those lines, but there was nobody. And what made this even more unsettling was that there was not a single footprint in that fresh snow around camp. So two people witnessed this thing.
Yeah, what is that?
Separated by quite a few time, like at least a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to explain these.
It makes you wonder, like, well, now you got to do some research into what could have been at that camp beforehand.
Yeah, right? Reminds me of what's the one where you see, like, the devil's hoof prints in the snow.
Oh,
you
know, yeah, story? Yeah, yeah. I did that. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. Yep. Right after the family was killed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep, that's kind of it. Deal.
Man, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty wild, right? Hey, look, let's take a quick break. We're going to wrap this baby up. We got more stuff to talk about on the backside of this. We'll catch y'all in a second. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
And we're back with Banger. Expanded Perspectives. Very cool stories. Terrifying as well. I hope to never have a wrestling bat match with a ghost or phantom.
No.
Or have something, you know, cruising around my camp at night or whatever, you know, stalking me.
I don't need any kind of interaction. I'm good, right? I like stories. I'm good. Although we're probably going to have some interaction before long. We got some trips planned coming up this summer, so y'all buckle up.
And we got a flood of emails recently inviting us on these ghost hunting adventures. I'm telling you, man, I'm not really interested. I'm lying. I would kind of be interested because I'd like to see, as an observer, if the researchers are gullible or not, if that makes any sense. Like, I want to see, do they hear a sound and be like, oh, did you hear that? Definitely was a little boy. And you're like, wait a minute, that could have been a rat. I want to see because you can't tell from documentaries. You can't tell from following groups on YouTube. They're doing that stuff to get likes, thumbs up. I get it. You know, we're in the game. What I'm interested is how serious they are. Same thing with like the Bigfoot research groups. I want to see how they go about trying to scientifically prove that this is a real thing. And maybe it all is. I'm not saying it's not, but that to me, I'm more curious about how they're conducting these investigations than what the investigations reveal.
Yeah, because so many people that are into this kind of topic see a lot of these and judge everyone on the people that they may have seen on television or the people that they may have seen on YouTube, kind of overacting at times or kind of doing things. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to broad brush every research group
right.
or everything. Like I would, be curious as to go along to like a hot spot, right? I'd like to go somewhere where they know it is highly, there's a lot of ghost activity or a lot of something. I want to go.
And the moment I see that I think it's real, I'm out of there. I'm Scooby-Dooing
it.
My legs are going to be going and I'm out.
Yeah, once I can get that feeling like, oh yeah, this is all legit and something's legitly happening, I'm probably going
to
bounce.
Yeah, I don't want nothing to do with it. Like, I don't want to disturb them. If this place is haunted, let them haunt it. Like, I'm out, right?
This is
I don't
y'all's place now.
But I'm very curious on how they conduct their research. And I've received emails over the years. You know, we've been doing this thing over a decade. I've had people talk to me like, we're really serious. I've heard it. I want to see it.
Well, we are getting close. The 9-year mark is coming up.
Oh, I know. We were doing stuff before we were recording. So
I cannot believe. Yeah. Wow.
Yep. It just becomes one of those things. It gets in your routine. And the next thing you know, you look up and like I said.
We would. I would like to go do a few. Like we always joke that we wouldn't. I would. I would like to go for some people that are serious about it. Right.
Because I know for a fact.
not just for like a fun, although a fun group would be good too. I would like to do both. I would like to go one that's just going for fun, exploration. You know, I'm not taking any equipment. We're just going to some creepy place and kind of see it in the dark and kind of, yeah, I'd be okay with that, just rolling. But then I would also like to go check out like a real legit group.
Yeah.
To go and do a research thing, to go watch and just see how they go about obtaining.
I would too, because I'm not trying to poo-poo every story. No. Like, I do believe the possibility of ghosts exist. I do believe that it is possible for Bigfoot to exist. I do believe it's possible for aliens to exist, but I want to see it. I want to see how the people that are conducting the studies are going about the research, because I have on YouTube seen people who have claimed they've recorded sounds of Bigfoot, and I know instantly it's a fox, but they may not know that. So they're not intentionally lying. They just are misinformed. So I would like to see how they gain this information. I've also seen Bigfoot groups where they find like small sticks or pebbles on a roof. Mm-hmm. They say it's impossible. It had to be thrown up there. Well, have you ever seen ravens, grackles? Those things are pretty smart. They carry sticks. They do stuff like that. Weird stuff all the time. You don't even know why they're doing it.
Well, here's the easiest way to have that
done. You know what
I'm
saying?
Have everybody around that whole area go start asking people if you can fly a drone up and look at their roof. If there's other sticks and stuff on top of all the other roofs, then it's things that happen probably by nature around there. If you were in the only place that it's happening, by proxy, you would think
that, but you know what I'm saying,
going on.
There are people that are legitimately trying. They're not trying to lie. They're just
want it to be real.
They want it to be real so bad that they don't know that they're doing
it. And that being said, I have no idea how I would even go about
I'm to doing
it. Like I said, I'm not judging. I want to go and see how it's done.
That's me.
I would like to be part of it, but like a serious one, so I could really see how it's done.
That's me.
Because I've got all these ideas, but I'm like, not that I think I can find anything. I don't think I can find anything.
No. If you're coming to Expanded Perspectives to learn about if Bigfoot's real or not, yet you're not going to walk away knowing anything.
No.
Just more stories.
Just more stories. That's the fun stuff.
Right.
But I would like to go and kind of check it out, to watch people that have done a lot of it, because they would know the mistakes not to make, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really all it is. Once you've done something long enough, it's not that you found the right way. It's, you know, 500 ways not to do it. You know, 500 wrong ways, right?
Exactly.
That's what you know.
Right.
So just don't do that again.
Well, speaking of fun things,
yeah,
we got something fun sent to us recently. Oh. A guy named Charlie D. Perez, who runs Charlie's Custom Toys, made us a Not Deer action figure. It's really cool. Like, we didn't ask for it. It just,
dude, he said, you might, awesome.
If I put this Expanded Perspectives exclusive sticker on there, I was like, no, go for it. Cam's gonna have to take a picture and put it on the Instagram and all that.
Yeah.
But very cool. I think in short amount of time soon, this summer, we're gonna be getting our own action figures, even one a little fizzy, maybe.
Oh.
So that'll be cool. And then also, we got this sent to us by a guy named Bruce.
Bruce is an, what is it? BDH Lures.
Yep.
Bruce, I can't thank you enough. I can't look. He sent us handmade, hand painted fishing lures, like crankbaits,
yeah,
folks, like segments. Dude, I can't wait. I'm literally speechless.
I am
deep
too.
Divers, stick baits. I cannot wait. It's the perfect time for it right now. Got to go get in the yak. Got to go wet a hook. Bruce, thank you. Like, dude, I'm blown away.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'm blown away. You guys, all of you all are sending us super nice stuff. Like, I'm not sure. I don't know if we deserve any of that stuff.
I agree.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Christmas came early. It's already here.
Yeah, 2022 has been a lot better than 2020 and 2021 was for us.
Yeah, I agree.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. What do you got planned coming up this weekend?
I'm going to visit my daughter. We're going down to College Station. Going to go see her. Her roommate is getting ready to graduate. Does her ring ceremony. So mm-hmm. We're headed down to CSTAT for a little bit of that, but we'll be back home. I think we're coming home on a Saturday. So yeah, we'll just run down there for a little while.
And me knowing you, anytime you go and if you already have a destination planned, that means you've already got where you're going to eat planned more than likely.
Yes.
See? What are you going to go with?
My daughter has a place she has found. I can't think of the name of it. And it's like it's a good little breakfast brunch place
that
she wants
us
to go to, that they like to go to down there. So we'll go there for breakfast. But that dinner Friday, I'm leaving it up to them. There's three or four places down there.
Like, don't you love those? They're like one of a kind, a little hole in the wall joint. It can't be reproduced anywhere else. It's not a chain.
That's the best.
You have to go there to get whatever that specialty item is.
I love that.
I do too. I think it's because of my age. It's like before chains took over everything.
Yeah.
It's nice to know when I go to this town, I know the spot I'm going. If I go to Abilene, I know the spot.
I go to Jacksboro. I know where I'm going.
I know when I go to Jacksboro, I'm going to Herds. Like, right. I know what I'm doing. And when I know I'm going through there, I plan my day.
Yeah, it's exactly 100%. I even like the Dixie Chicken. I don't mind all that going down there, you know. Like everybody always laughs about, like, when did you start going to the Dixie Chicken? Like back in the day, like everybody that I've talked to, of course, this is showing our age, used to go when they still used to feed the snake. So that's, for those that don't know, there's a giant rattlesnake in there, folks, a big one. And they used to feed it. They used to work it around happy hour where you could come in there, get half price beers and watch them feed the rattlesnake.
You know, that's the thing, too, is just like rattlesnake roundups don't happen no more.
Oh, yeah. We used to have them around here pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I've always wanted one.
A pet rattlesnake?
You always wanted one in like a terrarium.
It's not a, pet. A big rattlesnake. We've talked about this before. It's not a pet.
It's not.
Snakes do not love you. No. I'm a UNT. I know.
That's true.
I can speak with snakes. That's true. Telling you. Well, if you have any cool stories you want to share with me and Cam, please call the hotline 888-393-2783. Or if you feel like writing it out, email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You don't have to ask us permission. You don't have to ask us if we want you to tell us a story. We want you to tell us the story.
We got
to
hear it.
Be as thorough as possible. Talk about the time of day it was, time of year it was, how cold out was it? Was it hot? How old were you? Was the wind blowing? Was the moon out? Get paint the scene and tell us the story, and you might find it featured here on Expanded Perspectives.
Yeah.
You can follow the show on all forms of social media. That's about all the time we have for this show, folks. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.